Hello, I'm your host, Brenda Nelson, Vice President at Old Republic National Title Insurance Company. I'm also the Agency University Manager and the Southwest Region Agency Operations Manager. My guest today is Karen Arthur. She joined Old Republic National Title Insurance Company in January 2014. She came on as an agency rep, and in 2020, she advanced to focus and grow the Southwest Region Agency Training and Education Program. I'd like to give a warm welcome to Karen Arthur. Hi, Karen. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Brenda. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Karen, as you know, on our show, we like to highlight some common mistakes people tend to make in sales and how they overcome those obstacles. So one mistake we'd like to shine a light on today is giving up too quickly. So would you mind explaining what that might look like?
Oh, absolutely. You know, with salespeople, they're constantly trying to create leads, generate leads, that sort of thing. And salespeople who consistently win clients are the ones who pursue them over time. And they end up ultimately being the salesperson when the opportunity becomes available. So if you're not following up on leads more than once, well, you're really missing quite a ton of business. One thing that I think about, or one thing that I try to keep in mind, is that most people don't respond to the first attempt. It really does take multiple calls to contact or to make contact with potential clients. So I have a few statistics just because I like statistics. But for example, we're kind of in that business. So, calling three times is 68% more effective than one time call. And guess what? Calling six times is 94% more effective. Isn't that just incredible when you think about it? Wow. I mean, just making the additional calls. And then another thing that I love to think about when I'm thinking about, sales objections and that sort of thing, is the probability of a competitor making more calls goes down. As you continue to make that call, your probability to convert that lead goes way up because you're making, five, six more calls than what your competitor's making if they're only making one call. So your probability to convert that lead goes way up while theirs is going down. And then, of course, timing is everything, right? So, if you look at some statistics with regard to timing, you'll find that 22%, I think is what it is, 22% of emails are actually opened, whereas 98% of text messages are opened. And then, Facebook's a little less, tweets are a little less, obviously, as well. But the reason why I bring that up is that we have to find different ways to communicate, right? So, while we want to make a call, we also need to kind of keep in touch with our prospects with emails and with, text messages and that sort of thing. So I do feel like timing is really important when you're talking about leads and generating leads and that sort of thing.
Well, one of the things I just was thinking about is when you talk about timing is the fact that when someone is going to add an underwriter and you touch them three times, but they're not ready to add an underwriter during that three attempts, and then you just stop staying in touch with them, you've lost out on when they do get ready.
Absolutely. I cannot stress to you enough how that happens quite a bit in our business. And you have to think about this as well. That prospect, if they haven't heard from you, that they don't know, are you still with that same company? Have you left? What's your new number? You know, that they don't know. And it's not really up to them to try to track you down. So you're right. You're missing out on those opportunities when the decision's made to add a new underwriter.
Right. And your statistics prove that. I mean, they really prove that the more times you contact them and that you stay in contact with them. So can you tell me about a time that you made that mistake and how you remedied it?
Oh, absolutely. I can.
It's time to fess up.
You know, yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, with me, I will say that the statistics that I mentioned got me to thinking that this is not impossible, right? Once I started thinking what would happen if I made more calls, well, then everything began to change. And one of the things that I found worked really good for me is blocking my time on my calendar to prospect. And I felt like that was invaluable once I figured out to do it. And what happens, and we're, you know, we've all been there. What happens is we say, yeah, we're going to prospect from this time to that time. And then your emails come in or phone calls come in, and all of a sudden you get caught working on those items. And so with me, what I did with my time block is I put my out of office on my emails, and I moved my phone to another room just so I wouldn't be distracted. And then my focus for that, you know, 2 hours or 3 hours of prospecting was focused just on that, and everything else could wait. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's hard to sit down and to start making those calls, you know, to make those calls. So I start out, what I do is I start out with my favorite clients. I call them up. I see how they're doing. I ask them, is there anything I could do to help them? Or, you know, it's just a great time to also call and just thank them for their business. But these type calls I found were so fun, and it really helped me with those kind of new prospect call jitters. And then secondly, creating that plan is so important. So not having a plan was one of the areas that I lacked in. And I love to tell the story about, you know, I thought I had a plan, and I put everything on a little sticky, anything I thought about that I might want to ask that prospect. And of course, then when I got on the phone, you can only imagine, you know, trying to find that little sticky. And all of a sudden I realized real quickly that I needed a plan. And so what I do now is I make a list of people that I'm going to call and information about each one of them. So, you know, my list for each person may look something like, you know, what company do they work for? How long have they been in the business? You know, what's their client base? Is it, you know, realtors, investors, banks? Is it refinances? Is it commercial? And then I think about what competitors of mine they have, you know, what type, you know, what different underwriters do they have? And I think about what I can do better. So I put a lot of time and energy into just getting ready for my call. So I think about, what can I do better than my competitor? What tools do I have available? Is there new industry news out there that I could share with them? And then I even take it a step further because I want to build that relationship with that person. And so I'll even look back on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and see what kind of interest they have. What interests them? Do they have a dog or do they have a cat? Or, I mean, do they like to vacation? Are they a sports fan? Those type things. And I found that, you know, obviously you can learn a lot by just looking at some of the posts they've made, just even recently. And then knowing something about them definitely makes that call much easier, right? It gives us some common ground that is huge when you're prospecting. Now, one thing that I do want to add here is, and I think that we all do this from time to time, is that we prejudge, right? We prejudge that prospect too early in the process. Maybe we think that, you know, in my case, maybe they don't need another underwriter, but I don't know that, right? I don't know what their plans are. And so it's that prejudgment that I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe they don't need another underwriter. And so you kind of take them off the list. Absolutely not. You cannot prejudge too early. So what you want to do, especially with this initial call, is to find out more about them. You know, find out what they value, what's important to them, and what you can bring to the table. And the really cool thing about this is you don't have to have all the answers on that call, right? The really cool thing about this is that it gives you that information so that you can follow back up with them and let them know, I can provide you this. This is what I, you know, this is the type of value I have that I can share with you. So I always feel like, you know, prejudging, sometimes we all get caught up in that. And I think sometimes it's just being maybe nervous to prospect, but don't allow that to inhibit you. Don't allow that to get in your way of prospecting, because everyone, you know, has something that they need, and you're going to be the one that can figure that out.
I love that. Thank you. So bottom line, me, Karen, what's the best way to recognize and manage mistakes?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. And I think that one thing that I always think about is that understanding that sales is not a sprint. It's definitely a marathon. And so what I mean by that is in sales, you're building relationships. And you're building relationships that are going to last for a long time. And so anything worthwhile, and you've all probably heard this, but, you know, anything worthwhile takes time, it takes patience, and it takes action. And with that said, it's, you know, be persistent, continue, follow up, continue to follow up with people, create a time calendar where you are following up, you know, whatever works for you. If it's every 30 days for maybe an inactive prospect, meaning someone that, you know, isn't maybe, you know, a top prospect, they're looking, but maybe not right at this time, you know, create a plan to do that, to where you're always following up, whether it's 2 weeks or 30 days or 6 weeks or what have you, but be consistent with it and don't give up. Don't get discouraged if you don't hear back from them. It may, you know, like I said earlier, I mean, it may take six times for them to follow up with you after they've received information from you. And so don't, you know, don't be discouraged with that. And then one thing that I love, and one of my bosses told me this, Terry, if you're listening, but one thing that he told me that has always really stuck with me was to plan your work and work your plan. And so if you take the time to plan, whether it's your call to your prospect or the plan to follow up with your prospect to give them the value that, you know, let them know what value you can give them, then work your plan. So as long as you're planning your work and working your plan, you're going to be successful at this.
Well, Karen, unfortunately, we're out of time, but thank you so much for your expertise and your great advice. It was really enlightening. And thank you to all the listeners for joining us with this discussion. And until next time, I'm Brenda Nelson, and together we can learn, grow, and prosper. Thank you.